father of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Speaking of looking like Josh Pate, national college football analyst for 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports headquarters, at Late Kick Josh on Twitter. I'm following you on Twitter. Josh, you and I have never met, but I DM'd you. I don't know if you saw it. I DM'd you. You don't know me from Adam. So were you on a plane from Houston to Chicago last Wednesday? Because your doppelganger was sitting right next to us on this plane. Dude looked just like you. So that's why I don't know if you had ever got, if you got that DM that I sent you.
I was on about 35 different planes last week, but none of them went to Chicago. This is a big upset.
Okay. So, and I was like, my God, I actually did this. My wife
said, college football is he going to flying to Chicago? The only thing you could be doing is driving to Notre Dame.
That's it. Well, That could happen.
I've done that before.
Yeah.
He's not going to Northwestern.
But my wife said, why don't you just say, we'll just go out. Josh.
I've done that move before. Yeah.
And the guy, but the guy had headphones in.
Josh.
So anyway, your you do have a doppelganger out there, just so you know.
Well, that's, I would say, mildly to moderately troubling news. And so now that is how I will spend my offseason. I just got to track that guy down.
Finding that dude. I think we all do, but I found yours anyway. And he's in the Chicago area, just so you know. So let's talk about any problems with last night's rankings.
I didn't necessarily have any problems. I didn't think, at least going into this particular one, that there was a glaring, not even close, can't miss, must be this way sort of team. I know there was some consternation of, should Ohio State be ahead of Bama? Should Tennessee be ahead of Bama? I don't care. Anyone can have any opinion they want. I will tell you this, and truthfully, I have not gone back and listened to everything the committee said for obvious reasons, I think. But I keep hearing people talk about how Tennessee should be ahead of Alabama or shouldn't be ahead of Alabama. And if it just comes down to play on the field, I'm fine with that. If you think they should be ahead of Bama because of head-to-head, that's fine. If you think that blowout loss to South Carolina matters and even cancels out head-to-head, I'm okay with that too. But here's what I'm not okay with. When someone says to me, Tennessee does not belong above anyone anymore because they don't have Hendon Hooker, on it, at its core, I've got a real problem with a committee full of people telling me they know how valuable one player is worth, even a quarterback. Like, we all know Tennessee's not as good a team without Hendon Hooker, but here's the problem. We don't know how good a team they are or how good a team they aren't. And a perfect case study just played out this last week. Tennessee goes to Vanderbilt. They're favored by 14. So the best in the world looked at Tennessee without Hendon Hooker and said, we're going to make them a 14-point favorite at Vandy. They won 56-0. So that's not a playoff game. I'm not telling you Vandy is the gauge. I'm saying relative to what was expected, relative to what was thought to be, that's what they were. So I don't think a committee has the slightest clue how much a team is worth or how much a player is worth. Therefore, I don't think I want that factoring in to where they rank teams. If they put Tennessee behind Bama because of the blowout loss, I'm fine with it. Otherwise, I don't want that stuff getting baked in.
Josh Pate with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In your heart of hearts, is Tennessee a better team than Alabama right now?
No.
Right now?
No.
No.
No, I don't think they are, no. But at the same time, see, here's that slippery slope you get into. There are several teams above Bama that Bama would be favored against. And I think some people start to pull that out of their back pocket this time of year and try and sound smarter than the room. And that's not what we're doing here. What we're doing here is, at least hopefully, working on a more merit-based scale of not who would be favored, but what is deserved. Because Bama was favored in the two games they lost this year. So what does that really mean, yeah, first off? And secondly, I'm telling you, I'm involved in the crowd that would favor Bama over some of these teams. Like, do you guys realize Bama would be favored at TCU? Forget about a neutral field. Mm-hmm. They'd be favored at TCU.
Right.
Does it mean they belong ahead of them? Of course it doesn't.
Now, Josh, if they weren't named, because I've been a handicapper. I mean, I had a business years ago. I can also tell you for a fact, if they weren't, if they didn't wear those jerseys, they wouldn't be considered Alabama. I think Alabama really, from a line standpoint, and this is on a weekly basis, they are, well, people who gamble are getting the worst of the number because of the Alabama jersey and the Alabama helmet. But from the standpoint of the expectations for Bama or the ability to, you know, to place them inside of a group of teams, there's no question they benefit from being Alabama. There's no question about it. I think this is one of the lesser Alabama teams that I've seen just because of, and I mean like over the last 6 years, only because they don't have the electric playmakers at wide receiver. I think the offensive line is okay, and they don't have this great NFL, you know, defensive front, NFL caliber talent on the defensive front. So that's one of the reasons, you know, Tennessee, for me, Josh, Tennessee, the fact that they put that much on Vanderbilt, and that's been a scrappy Vanderbilt team. I was blown away that they hung that many points on Vandy, but it also speaks to the fact that Hendon-Hooker's a nice player and was going to be a Heisman finalist, but look at the receivers they have. My gosh, is that a tough matchup.
This is a good point because I was paying attention to that. You know, I live in Nashville, so obviously I'm close to Vanderbilt, geographically at least. And I thought that that was going to be a very competitive game.
I did too.
And you got to remember the two mentalities of those teams. Vandy was sky high, man. And Tennessee was crushed and demoralized. And it set up to where you could have an upset there. And it just never was. It was pouring down rain too. So if anything, you think that hinders Tennessee, and it didn't. So I agree with you there, man. That receiver core is legit. I'll also go back to the point you were making about Bama. Everything you just said is true. By the way, when you're talking about their receiving core and lack of electric playmakers, I want to caution people. It's not because they lack speed in that room. There was this misnomer earlier this year where, ooh, they just don't have speed. No, they got speed. Most of them are the younger guys. They've got speed, which is interesting because it has not translated to explosive downfield plays, and that's its own conversation. But I also think there's a trap that is easy to fall into if you're not careful, and I'm talking about if you're ranking teams in a given year. I think it only happens with Alabama right now. Maybe a little bit of Clemson, but I think really it only happens with Bama because I fall into this too. You fall into the trap of watching Bama and judging them against past Bama teams instead of just the other teams around them in that given year. Because I'm looking at Bama, and I found myself saying this team would get drugged by that 2015 team. Boy, can you imagine that 2020 team
right.
against this one?
Yeah.
Well, that's not the way it works. You're only judging them against 2022 Ohio State, which has flaws, or, you know, fill in the blank, any team that's above them. So on that scale, I do still think they'd be very comparable, but the thing about it is, it doesn't matter because they lost games and they didn't deserve their way or didn't earn their way in.
Josh Pate with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 at Late Kick Josh. Okay, USC and Utah. How do you see this one playing out? This is a tough matchup for USC, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a tough matchup for Utah as well. Their three losses have all come away from Salt Lake City. I think it was Florida, UCLA, and Oregon. So they got a tall task. This game, by the way, for those who have forgotten, the first time they played is the game where Dalton Kincaid, the tight end, had 16 receptions for over 230 yards, which looks like a season for some tight ends. And it's the game also where Cam Rising had 5 total TDs and just went off. I go back to that game. I don't want to make officiating the crux of the conversation, but out of all the noteworthy games this year, I don't think that officiating impacted the outcome of a big game more than I saw it impact the outcome of USC-Utah. And I know that has burned them ever since then, and they've wanted this matchup, whether anyone out there has said it or not, and they want it anywhere. They'd play them in Utah again, but they get them in Vegas, and it's kind of that standalone Friday night spot. Look, I don't doubt that Utah can make a game of this. I don't doubt they can get it in the fourth quarter. But I've been watching Caleb Williams play, and I really do think it's as simple as what I'm about to say. I've been watching him play his best ball in the last month. I just don't think you can beat him, or I don't think that team is going to beat him. If they get it in the fourth quarter and it's a game of a couple of possessions left for each team, I just think their guy is too good. And I also think that although they're not playing top five in these respective categories. I think USC, along the lines of scrimmage and just overall in terms of pure physicality, they're playing their best ball in those departments, and they've got the best turnover margin in America. You are going to have to throw the ball to keep up with them, and they keep taking the ball away when you do. So I just think there are too many factors, too many boxes checked for USC.
Talton Kincaid, by the way, I wrote him up. Man, he is really talented. Really talented pass-catching wide receiver. The kid out of Oregon State is maybe a shade better. I mean, this is, A, going to be a great tight end draft. But Dalton Kincaid is the guy to really keep your eyes on because he is a matchup problem. He was the first time. And that's a USC team that does not, you know, defensively, we saw it against UCLA too. It's just not a great defensive team. But as you mentioned, at this stage of the, and this is what happens in college football, a quarterback gets hot, they find themselves, they become who they're going to become in a season. And I think Caleb Williams is just on a collision course for the Heisman now, and that will include a win here. But do you see any chaos ensuing? You've got USC, as we just talked about, USC, and of course, I don't see Purdue, Michigan, but you never know. I mean, Michigan barely escaped Illinois, so I don't want to say absolutely not with Michigan because they can play down to the level of their competition. TCU versus TCU versus
Kansas State.
Kansas State. TCU versus Kansas State, two teams that I feel like are very similar in some way. They don't necessarily play similarly, but there's just something, there's a similarity about how they've gone through the season. Which of the games that you see this weekend have a chance to create some chaos, the best chance?
I think it's that Big 12 game, only because it's pretty cut and dry to me with the Pac-12. If USC loses, I just think they're out. And you've got Ohio State, I presume it would be Ohio State bumping up into one of those three or four spots. Here's the one that interests me. And I got into a big back and forth with our folks on CBS last night. They brought me on right after the playoff rankings were revealed, so everyone's opinions are fresh. And I had a bunch of folks telling me they think TCU is in regardless. And I think that's 90% true. Well, that's the thing, guy. That's how I reacted. I said, regardless? You mean like regardless of any scenario? And they kept saying, yeah. And Jerry Palm's one of them. So this is a guy who actually runs a computer for
If TCU loses, though, you don't think that.
No, regardless.
No. They're saying even if TCU loses.
How is that possible TCU would be ahead of Ohio State?
Well, it's not Ohio State. Look, this is what I said. So you and I think, are on the same level. I do think that there is a chance where if TCU loses a competitive game, I think there's an argument to be made that the only reason they lost is because they earned themselves the right to play an extra game, whereas Ohio State just sat at home. Like, I get you can make that argument. That's the old Notre Dame argument that everyone used to throw around in years past. How come they get to sit at home and benefit while everyone else has to risk themselves in the conference title game? Mm-hmm. Here's the one I'm wondering about. Let's say TCU loses by 30 or loses by 24 or something like that. Is it the same? And I threw that out there to the folks that I was on air with, and they kind of hesitated. Well, here's what that means. That just means I presented a scenario that no one thinks is possible. But you don't need to go back that far. Back in 2014, I guess that is a little ways, but go back to 2014, Ohio State was going into the Big Ten championship game that afternoon, and everyone was saying, doesn't matter what they do, they can't make it in. Well, then they won 59-0 over Wisconsin. And over the span of 4 hours, it went from they can't make it in to you can't leave them out. So things have the tendency to drastically alter public opinion on these conference championship Fridays and Saturdays. I just want to throw one out there before I stop talking here. What if you had USC lose Friday night and then you had TCU lose comfortably on Saturday, and all of a sudden the talk is, are we about to get Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, Bama? Like, are we about to get an all-SEC one semifinal in all Big Ten?
It would happen. Yeah, it would happen.
It would happen. It would happen.
It would happen. And the only argument then is that Tennessee deserves to be there ahead of Bama. That's what the next argument would be.
I don't believe that TCU, even if TCU loses a close game, I don't believe they'll be in.
Wow. Okay, so I'm going to push back there. I guess we'll just have to find out together. I do think if they lose a competitive game, because here's what they did last night. They put Kansas State at number 10. Which I think is critical, because if your loss is close to the number 10 team in the country who you already beat once this year, I don't think that that's going to justify them dropping them all the way out. That's just the way I see it.
I just don't, well, I just think, with your human, like you said, if Alabama goes to TCU, they're favored. I just don't think with my human eyes that TCU, with a loss, that they're going to feel like that's a good enough team to be in this playoff. I don't know. There's what Big 12 team gets in with a loss ever? None.
That's accurate. Now, you need to put me on the committee, because if I were on the committee, this would be my pushback. When has the Big 12 looked like this in recent years?
Right. No, it doesn't look good. I mean, if you're going to look at all the teams and you're going to look at it objectively, which is going to be the weakest team out of all the teams in the top 7 or 8 that is going to be in the playoff? It's going to be TCU.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, but I don't know. I think I look at this. I don't ever mention conferences. Like, when I'm debating these teams, it's the same as if you're odds making, if you're handicapping. You don't look at a team and say, okay, here's this SEC team. Here's this team. And then you bake in all the data profile that you want, and it should be the same way here. Now, I know you've got the conference championship game they're actually in that has a name on it, but you just watched Ohio State get blown out at home by a team, and they didn't drop them past 5 because they said that's a reputable opponent they lost mm-hmm. to. Well, you cannot in the very next breath tell me that this undefeated team is playing in a game only because they went undefeated and they're playing against a team they already beat and they lose to them close and we've got them ranked 10, but we're going to drop you 4 spots. How do you square that?
I think all we're talking about is, do they drop one? Like, if they win close, I think TCU is still in, and here's why. I don't think TCU is going to lose that spot, because as long as TCU wins, I think before the expansion of the college football playoffs, I think the CFP would love to say, see, we are not – look at this. Look how open-minded we are to a TCU being in here ahead of a blue-blood Ohio State. I think this gives them a chance to stand on their soapbox and say, see, we are out there trying to put the best teams, and we're willing to give teams a chance other than just the same old teams every time.
They need to do that. I don't think there's any question. We got to break it there because we're way over. But Josh, it's always great talking to you, man. We appreciate it. Let's talk again next week about what happens this weekend.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
There's Josh Pate with us every week right here at Late Kick Josh. At Late Kick Josh. Time to talk about Absolute Marble and Granite. That's my man, Jeff Aronoff, over to Absolute Marble and Granite. Jeff Aronoff is ready to come to your home or your business and just make it better. It's what Jeff Aronoff does every single day. He's out there, as a matter of fact, probably out there right now, working on some job, some big job somewhere. I mean, he does entire hotels where he puts in all the vanities or all the countertops. He does huge bars. He does, it doesn't matter. Any commercial thing, he can get the job done. It's got to be a big job. You got to want to put in an outdoor kitchen or move and redo your entire kitchen where you want all new countertops, new cabinets, new flooring, new walls, everything, tile, granite. He just does. It's just unbelievable the work that he can do, the work that he's done for me before, and the work that he will do for you in making it so much better, so much more valuable, so much nicer, so much better place for customers to come or for you to live in. It's all at 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Tell Jeff you heard it right here. Get your 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.